Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hello, I'm Jessie and this is my mum Lenny.
Hi.
And we've got a podcast called Table Manners, which is currently being sponsored by Dyson and their hair care technology, available for gifting this Mother's Day. Dyson hair care technology is the perfect gift for this gifting season, whether it's for yourself or for your loved one, just like Lenny. And this Mother's Day, they have a gift edition, supersonic hairdryer in the iron and fuchsia and the dark nickel and fuchsia coral cordless hair straightener.
Dyson hair care has technology for all needs. The Dyson Airwrap, multi-styler, the Dyson Supersonic Hairdryer, and the Dyson Coral Cordless Straightener.
You can shop the full Dyson hair care range, including gift editions, direct from the people who made it at dyson.co.uk.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBerry here, and we are back again with another installment of Dragon's New Spandex, or in honor of our 200th episode, All Queens and Me featuring Oral. We'll posthumously call it what he wanted it called from the beginning. We miss Oral. But anyway, we are here to talk Drag Race Season 15 up until about the midway point, because we're recording this just slightly after the midseason, and yeah, that's how we do things here. I have reconvened the Council of James's. So joining me, we've got Brian.
Hola.
James.
Which one?
You're the only one that goes by James. James.
It's me. Hi.
You are the problem. It's you. And we have Jamie.
Hello.
What is up, my fellow Drag Race friends? There's a lot to talk about. 60 minutes worth of Drag Race. We will have about 12 seconds per topic to discuss them, just like the runways. And yeah, let's do this.
If so, only got 12 seconds of runway.
I mean, for some of them, less is more. Less is definitely more. But that's
less trotting. Less trotting is more.
Cue those people to take out the spice.
Cue the garlic sniper. Salt.
Oh, I don't know how I don't know if we were able to repeat that just yet, but listen, Cumin had a good run on the show. Which has everybody watched that episode of The Pit Stop?
Oh, yeah,
is the Lollapalooza. Like, what was that, James?
Why would anybody choose Cumin to like describe her? Because cumin's like a really interesting spice.
No, see, you have to watch the Lollapalooza pit stop with Bianca and Brooklyn Heights, and at one point Brooklyn calls spice pepper, confuses the fuck out of Bianca. She's like, who?
And they just like, spend the rest of the episode going through different spices. Yeah.
it is. I think at one point, garlic salt, like, it was just, yeah,
it
was fantastic. Somebody on YouTube just put a compilation of Bianca and Brooklyn calling Spice other names, and it was everything. But let's jump back to the way we're going to do this, kind of how we do our micros for like a TV series or a season. And we'll talk about the things in season 15 that we've liked so far. We will then hop into things that maybe have not impressed us all that much in the season so far. And we'll wrap it up with what we hope for the final half of the season, the second half of the season, and our predictions for the top four queens. Sound good to you all?
Sounds good.
Yep.
Good, because that's what we were going to do anyway. So let's go for this ride.
Party.
I need you to be a little bit more Valley Girl, James, in that delivery, please.
Party.
Okay, moving on. Scene closed. Could that be a Master Cheese Theater?
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh. Lord in heaven. All right, so let's get into some of the things that we have enjoyed. I will throw it over to, let's do this round robin style, so that way we don't all, one person doesn't get to steal all the good stuff. We'll go around, we'll start with Brian. What's something season 15 has brought that you have really enjoyed so far?
Sasha Colby. That's it, pretty much. And I'm sorry, I know that's like the one everyone would say. But honestly, okay. Somebody else can elaborate on Sasha Colby. But by the way, Sasha Colby, I think I've enjoyed Rue seems to have a little more engagement than she has sometimes had in the past. And her excitement about this, and it could all be totally fake and or she just got like mad lingo money. I don't know what it is, but she seems a little more. She has a little more give a fuck than I think I've seen in a few seasons. So that's nice. I appreciate that. I think on the opposite side, Michelle Visage seems to have less and is like mostly just all phoning it in, particularly when she's giving acting advice or directing.
She's not getting that sweet, sweet lingo money. So
indeed. And she's not been on the UK Big Brother. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe she has been on another season of that. Who knows? But I don't who knows what goes on over across the pond, but she does do Queen of the Universe.
Across the pond.
That's true. I think Rue's engagement has given a little more life to the show. I think I've been relatively surprised and somewhat pleased by the challenges being a sort of a remix of some old stuff, but with some new stuff in there. But yeah, Sasha Colby mostly.
Love it. Love it. James, what about you? What's a positive takeaway from season 15, the first half?
Two things. Just the sheer diversity of like the types of queens we got this year. Like, I feel
the Connecticut's like past seasons.
I mean, no, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about like, so for like lack of a better term, you know, every season has like, there's like a bunch of look queens. We have like lot. We have like a big smattering of queens this season. We have a stunt queen. We have a fashion queen. We have a everything queen, Sasha Colby. We like it's a big diverse group this year. You know, I don't think I've seen like a really diverse and very talented group this like I've seen like this since I don't know what was the season Aquaria was on? 10?
10.
So but I am also loving Anitra. Because you better walk that fucking duck. But also at the same time, continuously everything she's put out is just surprising me. Like when she walked out with that dress, which I'll talk about later, and she just turned around. I'm like, wow, that's actually gorgeous. Thank you. I don't know. I liked it.
I would agree with you. Anitra is a very likable queen. I wish there was more of her on the show. And that's maybe partially because she's not such an outspoken queen, and they give the camera time to those queens who love to eat that camera up. So, you know, it happens. Jamie, what about you? What has been tickling your fancy this season?
Since both of my favorite parts of this season being Sasha Colby, who won the minute she walked in the room, and Anitra, who I don't think gets enough credit for being low-key hilarious. Like, the one-liners from this season that I'm going to remember have come from Anitra. Somewhat controversial, because I'm going to say the same thing when we get to the things we don't like, but I've liked the shorter episodes.
Oh, me too.
I think the strategy that we're seeing from MTV about those shorter episodes is somewhat illogical, because I feel like there were 800 queens and we were getting 3-second runways, and we're going to be getting 90-minute episodes when there are too few queens to fill 90 minutes. But I've liked the pace of the show with the shorter episodes.
Yeah. I oddly agree with you. And I mean, maybe it's because I'm used to, you know, the 60-minute episodes from seasons, what, 9 and before, or before 9, before the jump to VH1 when it was on Logo. But there are times when it is a little weird, and I know that that's what you're alluding to in the saying it again in the what we don't like about the season so far.
Yeah.
But I definitely, I feel you there. And I don't think that always having that extra time is needed. For me, I have enjoyed really just kind of seeing this journey in the way that the editing has been going. It's not always great, but I like the way that they've thrown in some curveballs with Snatch Game being earlier. It was definitely a mixed bag with having the shorter episodes and wanting to have it earlier, because one of the best things about All Stars is we get to see that in episode usually 2. It's usually a talent show, or in the most recent seasons of All Stars, we go with a talent show usually, and then we do Snatch Game, because you get the most amount of queens in there. They're coming back. They have the money. They have the time to really kind of hone this. They know it's there. Although 15 years in, if you don't know, or 14 years in, Snatch Game debuted on season 2, you know that it's there and you should be preparing for it. Just like with sewing challenges, you should have some concept of being able to put something together, whether it is with a sewing machine or hot glue gun. Figure it out. But giving these queens an opportunity with 14 queens left was something that the fans have always been like, oh, it's a shame that this queen didn't make it to Snatch Game. Oh, this queen probably would have killed in Snatch Game. We got to see 14 out of the 16 queens do Snatch Game this season. Would I have liked a bit?
I feel like we got to see about 4 of the 15 queens that were left do Snatch Game.
Agreed.
They showed us the 4 that were the best. Or worse. in that case. Yeah. No.
I long for an iconically bad Snatch Game for a while now. So I appreciate Paprika giving us that.
We will remember it for a while. I won't remember Trisha Paytas.
No.
But I will remember Miley. And who was the other one? Who else?
Yeah.
Who else was bad? That was it. Aura.
What did Erythral do?
Who?
Erythral. That zero calorie sugar substitute.
Wow, that joke was way more intelligent than I am.
You read the same article about Erythral giving you cancer, didn't you?
Correct. I was like sitting here, I was like, so I could say Splenda, which also gives you cancer, but Splenda is also now expensive. Erythral is cheap, and apparently like having 25% of the daily value in your bloodstream can cause a stroke, a heart attack, cancer.
Oh, and she did Trisha Paytas. That's who she was.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. Sorry. I think that was on purpose, though.
I mean, but the thing was, is she was bad, but it wasn't memorable.
No.
There were things that you probably could have done as Trisha Paytas. And honestly, at this point, it wasn't even that did her Miley as Miley. She was just comically bad for whatever it was. Like, whatever she was attempting to do.
Miley as Goofy, the cartoon dog, for some reason.
Yes. Yes. Every time that Goofy yucks, I'm just going to picture Spice's Miley Cyrus, for sure.
Do you think that, like, Spice and Sugar, their perception of what is entertaining is so drastically different than what works on TV because their medium is TikTok? Like, TikTok or other, like, Instagram, whatever, reels, you have to get in and get out really hard, fast, and tell a story really quickly, or just do nonsensical shit like I guess they were doing. Do you think that's partly why they just did not really land as well as they should have, or maybe could have? I don't know. I have not talked to someone who is young enough to maybe understand and appreciate what they were doing, but I don't know. Do you think that was part of the issue there?
I think it was. I think the medium that they were thrown into and the medium that they come from are so drastically different that I think they did Snatch Game as well as they were capable of doing it. It just never is going to land on TV like it would in a 1 minute TikTok.
Well, and this is my take on that. Yes, the medium definitely is different, but they're not improvers. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube even is not an improv ground when you are by yourself and you're creating this content. You do things, you make jokes in these videos, you put them out there, and then people can watch them and either engage or not engage. When you're now in a room full of other people and RuPaul and the pit crew as the contestants, less engaging this time around.
Hey,
except for
a lot of time cutting the hole in those booths.
That was the best part of Snatch Game, was the fact that they took out that little window so you could stare at their bulges during the question asking portion. But they don't know how to volley, and they don't know how to read a room in their performance, in my opinion, because online in a platform like TikTok or Instagram Reels or YouTube, you create and then you post and you go. You're not getting that feedback. You don't change. You can't change midstream. And I think that was their biggest downfall. But I agree with you, Jamie. They did it to the best of their abilities.
And in fairness, there are a lot of more traditional drag queens that also can't do that in Snatch Game.
Correct.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Although I will say, for two bedroom queens and TikTok queens, their makeup is phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
I don't expect any less though. Honestly, like, a lot of these social media queens, that's what they do. If their makeup was busted, I'd be really fucking shocked.
But the fact that they can produce that makeup in this pressure cooker situation, I think, is impressive. Because a lot of those TikTok queens have 3 days to get a look together.
Yes.
I'm curious if they delayed, like, those runways. Because there have been talks about past contestants. And even, like, Willem has talked about, like, they would tell each other, oh, paint slower. To stretch out the amount of time, because they're only given 45 minutes. But if the girls aren't ready, what are they going to do? You can't really film a show without the queens that are, you know, the contestants on your show. So I wonder if they, you know, if there was any kind of slowing down, or, I mean, they didn't get the Kimora Hall edit where it made it look like RuPaul was being, you know, held up. Because she was the only queen back there still getting ready before the fashion show mini challenge. So, but no, their looks and their makeup, definitely spot on. Their aesthetic is their aesthetic. Was there variety? That's for you to decide, dear listener, because I'm not going to get read for filth or death threats by saying anything negative about these two homosexuals from Long Island. I'm still mad that we did not. I'll say this in my what made me mad. Michelle Visage did not make more Long Island jokes after episode one. And that was, or two technically. And that was very upsetting for me. I wanted more Jones Beach, Roosevelt Field, all of that.
Pat is upset that this television program is not aimed directly at him.
Yeah. Oh,
from the beginning. No, absolutely.
I am the main character of my own story. You know what? So.
You know, Michelle can go Lucy LaDuca all she wants because, you know what? She's fucking funny. But at the same time, it also reminds me of every time one of my, I don't know, I could literally list off of my left hand the amount of names that are like stereotypically Italian that I have that are great uncles, like Marion, Mario, Tony, like, and just be like, yep, they sound just like that. So
that is definitely Italian and Jersey through and through in that. So let's do a quick round of things that maybe have not impressed us this season. And then we'll do a quick run through some of the episodes and chat about some highlights. I don't want to get into too in-depth because we're not doing individual recaps for each of the episodes. But there were some good things that have come out of most of the episodes this season. And I think that we should give them their due. And we've already kind of mentioned some of it, so I figure why not. But let's go back around and give some maybe lowlights of season 15. Brian, what has not captivated and entranced you about this season?
I will say that I don't like the edits of the 60-minute episodes. I feel like they cut the parts that I'm most interested in, which is the runway, the critiques, and I don't feel like it's cutting into some of the smaller moments in the workroom, so that's fine. But I don't love the edit. I am particularly baffled, and we mentioned this, why the end of the season is going to get 90-minute episodes when really it should have almost been reversed. But I whatever, that is what it is. Everyone said their piece. It's sort of a fun thing. In terms of the queens, I think my least favorite has been Lux Noir. Is that her name? Lux Noir Brook. What's her? Lux
London.
It London. Does not matter because she is AI generated drag race quote.
She's the ChatGPT of drag. I love that. I think what it is her craft is fine. It's that's not my issue. There's a certain attitude that I got, and at first it was like, oh, confidence, great. But you go into drag, as a mistress would say, drag delusion. And she's, you know, not, she didn't coin that term. And I feel like there have been moments where I'm like, okay, yeah, she's good, but she's not as good as her confidence like demonstrates. But I also just don't want to, I feel weird about saying that. And just like, cause you know, I don't know. She is good. Some people love her, but I just, anytime she comes on, And is mainly in the interviews, confessionals. That's when I think I get most of that sass and attitude. And it's like, okay, fine. I don't know. It's youth. What are you going to do?
I'm going to say a statement, everybody, and it might make people really angry. But she has the delusion of Valentina with the confidence of Naomi Smalls.
Love it.
Yeah.
And like I say that because she goes out on the stage with these gorgeous garments. But like, and I say this because like I has no negative intent to any person who identifies as female, but like when you go out on a stage in something that resembles a bikini and you don't even powder your chest to make the skin there look like it's not going to reflect and shine right back into the camera like women do, so their tits don't look oily and shiny, or Like,
oh, see, I assumed it's just it oiled up. I thought that was intentional.
But like, that's also part of the point is like, I feel like they go out there. They're like, this outfit I'm wearing is the nicest thing that I could have put on. I look sickening. I look gorgeous. And I'm like, honey, Miss Thing, it's a piece of fabric.
Or if it's the ball, it's a piece of fabric with some plastic wrap glued to it.
Yeah, that's, I was going to get to that. She looks like this Jolly Rancher wrapper I have on the desk right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree. So James, we'll throw it over to you now. What's something that has not tickled your fancy from season 15?
So I don't like the shorter episodes because I there love seeing multiple looks of, like, you know, the runways. But can we also just talk about how flat Daytona Wins 2 fell? Because it was literally 15 seconds long.
15 seconds? That shit went on forever.
No, but like, the filming of it, like,
there were dead spaces that lasted 15 seconds.
But this is my thing. And this is the only thing, like, I understand where you're coming from. And I know that there are parts of it that I will agree with you. But do we really need to see all of the making of? If that's not what the what the challenge is, like, if like just show me the final part of it, because they utilize that to direct the story. And let's give Kylie in All Star 6 during that American Horror Story, the Ryan Murphy inspired challenge. They use that to be like, oh, Kylie's fumbling, and then they show, oh, triumphant, like, this is how good she did. Okay, she's the winner. Or they use it in the opposite direction, and they say, okay, here's this person fumbling like crazy, and now they're in the bottom. Like Nina and Valentina in season 9? Yeah, 9.
But I will say
they did that.
Is that most of the iconic Drag Race moments that we have come from the filming or these making of parts of the challenge. And I say that because, you know, it's just, I find it incredibly funny. And it also gives us, you know, ideas of like why they get the critiques that they do. So at the end, you know, when, I don't know what's her name, at least to me, who I also love this queen fairly dearly, Mistress, literally nails every line so flat, but then almost wins the challenge, if I believe correctly. And I'm sitting there and I was like, yeah, I'm sitting there and I was like, okay, if you did so good and they gave you little to no direction during the filming, and they were like, you were so good, but all of us are sitting there like, okay. Did the edit they had of you doing good just be too good? And then we got the literally like you were being fed the lines in an earpiece and you were repeating after somebody. Is that what we got? Because there were other queens in there that I was like, wow, you're actually doing pretty good. And apparently they did awful. So, I don't know. It's somebody who likes being detail-oriented sometimes. I think that's an area where I would have absolutely loved to be detail-oriented and gotten, like, you know, the back to. But we got what we got. But I also think that the longer episodes we are going to get in, you know, this back end of the season that we're going to be seeing, I actually think will be pretty good because I'm ready to watch Anitra murder.
Watch us get to these longer episodes and then they're horrible. Like, they edit them to just be like, see, this is why we didn't give you 90 minutes for the first 9 weeks. Well, 10 weeks, because we still don't get a longer episode on this next one. This March 10th, I think, is the return to 90 minute episodes.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because there is some other show that they're going to put on in that hour spot, some like test run show that they're putting on this coming week after episode 10.
Yeah, there's some art challenge show coming on.
Yeah. I remember seeing the commercial for it, and I was like, oh, this is why there's still another week after The Real Friends. Arfo Weefo, as Dan likes to say.
Arfo Weeho.
But yeah, no, I get where you're coming from, James. I think when I look at it, I look at the old school episodes, and we got a lot of those things, like Thank You Detox, and like there's all these little moments, but the challenges didn't take up like 15 to 20 minutes of the episode like they do now. And for an episode like for Daytona Wins 2 to fall that flat in that long of a space that they gave it, it really, like, I could have taken 5 minutes less of that and put that into the making of or the critiques. But it's going to definitely be a season that will be remembered interestingly, for sure. Jamie, what about you?
So I'm going to pile on here, I guess, and say that I also do not like the edit that they are getting on the shorter episodes, because it is obvious that they did not film these to be 60-minute episodes. They filmed them to be 90, and they are making strange cuts to get them to where they want them to be. I think it would have been a much different season if they had filmed this knowing that it was going to be 60-minute episodes.
So now, I'll throw this out to you because you brought it up, or to anybody. They film the same way every season. Do you think, and I don't know if we know this, I don't think it's been said, do you think that these episodes were edited and made into 90-minute episodes, and then they found out not long before it had to go to, like, be put in and finalized? And then they said, oh, no, we have to do 60-minute episodes. Yes. And they went back in and said, okay, we have crafted the story. Now let's take out, what is it? So it's 60 minutes, if 90, 42, what is that, 18 minutes? Find 18 minutes to get rid of. And they went in and sliced out. And that's why things feel more jumpy and jittery, especially at the beginning, like episodes 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, I absolutely think that's what happened. I think somewhere there exists a 90-minute cut of all of these episodes.
I agree. I think that this felt a little like, and I don't know, maybe it wasn't last minute, but remember when they had to edit out Sherry Pie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think they probably got the memo a little later than they intended. Then they would have wanted the time to successfully edit it down. And yeah, it was like, oh God, we got to cut that much. So that's why the runways are like a, I don't know, flash mob, or they're just so fast.
And I feel like the last couple of episodes, and maybe this is just me, I feel like the last couple of episodes feel a little smoother, and it's almost like they had more time with these, so they were able to kind of finesse them better than episodes 3, 4, 5, where that really felt very chopped up and very choppy with the editing.
I think you're right that they had more time to edit it, but they also, with fewer queens, they had more filler that they could edit out.
Yeah, there is more breathing room to have that kind of flow through it all. Yeah. No, for sure. And I will say that, and I think James may have hit on this before as part of why he didn't like the edit. Really, my thing that I haven't liked, in addition to what we've already talked about, is that piece of the judges talking amongst themselves. I miss Rue saying, bring back my girls. I miss a lot of that to it. I also don't love the drama this season. It feels so weird. And maybe that is also a victim of the edit and the way that these episodes had to be edited, but it really feels odd and off, and like this new vanilla Glenn Weldon on Twitter I think in referencing Drag Race, talked about the fact that like the villains are now very vanilla because, you know, social media is such a huge thing and all these eyes are on these queens. But I do also like, I like Mistress a lot and I like how she can be kind of catty and read and do all these things. But there is also a little bit of it where I feel like it sometimes goes a little too far, or she's that type of person who maybe
it does.
doesn't read the room because she's so used to it. And it's so tough because I spent so many years around drag queens at the Parliament House and being in the dressing room and hearing how these girls talk to each other. And, you know, queens that are like when the Rue girls would come in and they would still be catty and be fun with each other. But in a pressure cooker situation, like the whole metal gate thing with Malaysia, like these queens, they have to act like it's been weeks. At this point, it's been like, what, 2 weeks? Maybe when all this stuff is kind of coming to a head. So they don't know each other all that well. And they sometimes think, oh, I can push the envelope here. And sometimes people have experiences in their life where they get kind of abused and taken advantage of like that. And there was a whole conversation that they had around like the fact that Malaysia said that she was being bullied and like, oh, you know, we shouldn't be using terminology like that because the fans will take it and run with it. But how can you sit there and tell the person that that's like, that's not how they feel?
Oh, that was my reaction when she said, let's not use the bully word, is that's exactly what a bully would say.
Right.
But can I tell you what really the one thing that really made me not like Men in Black was when Mistress Isabel Brooks on Sibling Watchery, Bob calls Mistress Isabel Brooks Men in Black all the time because it's always they shorten it down to MIB. For those listening, Brian had this look on his face like, who the fuck is he talking about?
So I'm like, did I just shift into a weird alternate reality? Did you Men in Black me?
Yes. So when they cut to a confessional and she sat there and said, Sasha Colby just keeps coming in here like she's the mother and making everything a teaching moment. I swear, I almost jumped through my television and back in time to when they recorded this and said, ma'am, you respect your elders and you respect your mother and you do not talk about Sasha Colby that way.
Yeah, we all reacted to that moment the same way that what's her name? Marsha's fans reacted on Instagram.
Exactly.
Oh no, what happened there?
Wasn't it Marsha's fans that got MIB banned from Instagram?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because she said to her look was what, cheap or something along those lines. But, and yeah.
Let's be honest. Come for me. I don't care. Who is that into Marsha that you're going to go after another queen for her?
And especially, I mean, like, Marsha's funny and interesting. I like her, but, like, not, yeah. I think she represents the musical theater community so, and there's a lot of passionate musical theater folks out there. I love, they're great people.
No, not at all.
So I don't know, but it still surprises me they would do that, but you know, everything that happens on the internet surprises me on a minute by minute basis. So
the thing is, she's a skinny white twink. Oh god, what did Dan say about Marsha?
Dan said that Marsha is everything that he wanted Jan to be.
You mean,
and do you know what I said?
Not this.
This is exactly what I said. I was like, do you know what, Dan? That makes a lot of sense. And he was like, oh, why? And I was like, well, for one, Marsha has actually been and is currently on a tour on Broadway. And on top of that, she's actually kind of likable and doesn't scare me when she starts screaming. I mean, singing high notes.
Also, do these 12-year-olds, have they seen the Brady Bunch? Like, because that's kind of the whole idea.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so. But
no, they've watched a YouTube person reacting to watching the Brady Bunch. That's how they watch things now. Don't you pay attention?
That's fair. And the movie, not the show.
Oh, totally the movie. Yeah. Yes. The show? What? The show? Yeah.
Yeah, no. Maybe they got really high and watched the Brady Bunch movie with RuPaul on it because they saw it on Netflix. And they were like, wow, this is really funny. And then they go and watch old things of the Brady Bunch and they're like, why is this bitch brushing her hair 500 times on each side?
I was like, you're referencing the movie, which still came out like 100 years ago, because Christine Taylor, who played Marsha or Jan in the movie, is, I think, our age or maybe a little older than us, like somewhere in that ballpark. So, yeah, it's been a while. It's been a very interesting season for this drama, and the fans just take it to a whole other toxic level. And we'll air quote those fans because that is just not
well. And the drama also sometimes feels like Mistress will say one thing that's a little backhanded and offhand, and then somewhere in the background you can hear a producer going, "Say that again, but make sure everybody's around when you say it."
Yeah, that's for sure. You know that is absolutely screaming. Correct.
I also love speaking of producers. Sorry to cut you off. This is important.
No, that's fine.
But can we talk about how every time Lux speaks, when she's like, "All right, everybody, like we're back in the workroom," and I'm like, "I know there is like reading cards in front of you." Because they think that you need to be like the documentarian of this entire season.
Oh, I have no doubt in my mind that Lux knows every scripted word that those producers have fed every queen since season one and recites them from memory. Like she is doing an impression of other queens doing the, "It's another day in the workroom."
I am the most esoteric bitch in the sewer right now.
You know that she is definitely the one that is like, what do you, what's the topic that you want us to talk about today? I'll bring it up. I'll say it. You know she is that girl.
Hello, I'm Jessie and this is my mum, Lenny.
Hi.
And we've got a podcast called Table Manners, which is currently being sponsored by Dyson and their hair care technology, available for gifting this Mother's Day. Dyson hair care technology is the perfect gift for this gifting season, whether it's for yourself or for your loved one, just like Lenny. And this Mother's Day, they have a gift edition, supersonic hairdryer in the iron and fuchsia and the dark nickel and fuchsia coral cordless hair straightener.
Dyson hair care has technology for all needs. The Dyson Airwrap, multi-styler, the Dyson Supersonic Hairdryer, and the Dyson Coral Cordless Straightener.
You can shop the full Dyson hair care range, including gift editions, direct from the people who made it at dyson.co.uk.
And now we go live to Tyrrell's Farm.
When it comes to making truly tasty crisps, the folks here in Herefordshire are masters of their craft. Every batch of local spuds is thickly sliced, then hand-cooked with their skins on to give them their characterful curls and extremely satisfying crunch. These nifty curls also ensure every last sprinkle of seasoning stays on the crisps and not in the bag. So, choose Tyrrell's crisps for your next big bash. They're terribly, terribly tasty.
Okay, so let's do a quick rundown of some of our highlights from the this first half episodes. Won't get into anything too deep, too crazy, but talent show, the split opening together opening, which I will say personally, I'm glad they did it this way. It was a really fresh take on doing that split opening and having the girls come in two separate groups. So that was just a high point for me on that. But what did y'all think of the talent show? What stood out to you?
You better walk that fucking duck.
I think Sasha Colby's number was, to me, art, and pretty much everything else was fine. Pop art, I don't know. Like, other than, I will also give Irene credit for being daring enough.
You would.
I got to stick with the Seattleites, but I really think that she made a bold choice. And art is about making, I think, bold choices. Sasha and Irene made bold choices. The rest of those bitches, they may have been fine, but none of them made bold choices in their performances. They were very much playing for the cheap seats, give them what they want. Maybe you give, Lucy, she sang, even though she should have never sang on a track that had her own vocals on it. And that just made it horrible. But like overall, like that's kind of a bold choice ish, but like Irene and Sasha to me stood out in a good way. Although admittedly, Irene got the wah wah edit and was, doomed from the start. So what are you going to do?
And Irene's number, I guarantee, kills in person. But there's no way it's going to work in a minute.
Right.
That's what everybody that's also said possibly.
The editing killed it. Yeah. Did anyone find a video of her doing the original routine? I think I still have not seen that.
No.
Because if I ever have a chance to catch her here, I would happily hope that she does it. But I feel like at this point, that's probably also something she doesn't want to have out there in the world. For someone to show and go, look, it's still not funny. I think that's absurdism that I dig. But the cover songs, I just don't care. I don't care about your song. None of them are good. They're like jingles. They're the equivalent of a commercial jingle to me, or a bad theme song, and not in a fun superhero-y kind of way, right?
That said, I did queen out when Jax jumped rope with her hair.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, so good. And then when she backflipped and landed gracefully on her titties, like into a reverse worm.
The best part of that whole performance was Anitra's commentary on it.
Anitra makes everything better. Just saying. Just saying. I did love Marsha's ballet, like, teenage girl obsessed with Ross Matthews to I'll Make Love to You by Boyz II Men.
I cannot tell you how hard I fucking screamed. And it wasn't just like ballet, it was like full on like lyrical pointed toe shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, you do this professionally.
Yeah, she definitely is a professional performer and dancer, and I wish she were as professional at drag.
Roo ka 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 ka. But accurate. I will never look at a song I thoroughly enjoy, Lisa Stansfield's All Around the World, the same way after Amethyst did that number.
Oh, that was such a wasted opportunity.
I know.
Like, it was such a good idea and so badly pulled off.
Yeah. No, I agree, though, with Brian on Sasha Colby's number. I absolutely did love that, for sure.
I also loved that she got to explain it in the Untucked on that one.
Yes. Yes. Not all the Untucks are needed or provide a lot of extra stuff, but getting to hear her talk about her father's struggles with mental illness and being able to utilize her art to kind of process through that and tell that story, so good. Episode 3, All Queens Go to Heaven. What was the highlight from this?
The neck crack heard around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, yeah, too.
That was pretty iconic. I'm not going to lie.
And so stupid. Like,
she's sitting there, and I know she was like, you know what? If they're going to make me play God, I'm going to give them God. Literally does one move and everybody is dying. And I'm like, that's, you know what? I'm going to give you that, because the best way to entertain the audience is give them nothing but everything at the same time. And that's what God does. Nothing.
I just love the fact that it kept on getting like wilder and wilder every time. Like the first time it was like just the neck, and then it was like a little bit of a leg, and then by the end she was almost flat out doing a full dip every time she would do it. And the like, that's just that was so good. I also loved when they did the other, I think it was the safe group with I forget which of the twins was in the group, but they did the meet and greet line, and they had the four girls, and they were like, "Oh, it's Eureka," and she, like they had them had her confuse them with other Drag Race girls, and I was like, "Oh,
yeah, I wish they had made accurate that what they were doing there. If that had read a little more obvious, it would have been funnier." Because they were about halfway through the catchphrases before I realized what was supposed to be happening there.
Oh, okay. See, like, I got it right away, and I, but it's also because I see them and I go, oh, okay, Mistress is Eureka, Malaysia is Silky. Like, I thought it was cute. I did overall, did it compare to Sasha Colby as God?
No.
But no. I thought it was entertaining. Supersize Snatch Game, episode 4. We've talked a little bit about this. Anybody want to dive into any more highs or lows from this episode?
We did not deserve Lucy LaDuke as Joan Rivers.
Yeah, Lucy did the exact thing you're supposed to do in Snatch Game. She picked a character. She didn't even have to come up with any jokes. She just used Joan Rivers' jokes.
Yeah.
And she played with Rue. Why don't, and I know it's not, I'm not good at banter either. I totally understand why you would struggle if that's just not your thing. But seriously, that's what every successful queen in this game does. They take what Rue is giving, yes, and it, and back. Like you take a basic improv class and you probably can do that to some extent. And I don't know, I feel horrible for these queens that just don't get that. And especially when they just come in and just ram-road their bits all the way through, kind of like our friendly spice and sugar and what other condiments.
Well, that worked particularly well with Joan Rivers, because Joan Rivers, when she would do interviews, would come back with those one-liners that were sometimes a little bit awkward. So even if it didn't land in the room, it still was a good impression.
Yeah. Yeah, it was spot on. So good. One of my favorites, I think, of all the Snatch Games. I did also really like Sasha Colby's Jan Crouch, having grown up watching a lot of Pentecostal and Baptist, you know, Tammy Faye and Jan Crouch. Like seeing that represented was kind of a, you know, like kind of a special memory. It not in a bad way of my past, but also. I don't think Marsha got enough credit for her Tim Gunn. I think that one was really pretty epic.
That would have been my call out as well, because I wasn't paying attention during the walkthrough, like the workroom portions. So I knew somebody was doing it, but I didn't know who it was. And I still couldn't tell who it was, which I think is a really good gauge on whether or not they've embodied the character, because some people will just be themselves as this person, and Marsha really was consumed by the spirit of Tim Gunn on that good goddamn day.
Yeah, Marsha did an excellent Tim Gunn. I am still a little put off by male characters, which I know is problematic, but it's called Snatch Game. And what The distinction between being in costume and being in drag, I think, is where you lose me on the male characters. Because Marsha was in costume. Granted, you could also say that Joan Rivers is a costume, but
I don't think Marsha like dragged it out enough. But Snatch Game isn't always that way anyway. Like you said, I think
for sure
some do really a dragification of the character, but others, like I even think of like Paul Lynde's Ben de la Creme's Paul Lynde, and like that one was sort of dragified, but Really not. Really just
no, because that's how Della doing. Was.
Yeah, that's exactly. Which he was already a larger than life character. So I think it just depends on who you choose, and then how do you accentuate and exaggerate their characteristics.
But, and I had the same reaction to Paul Lynn that I did to Tim Gunn, which, like, Little Richard, I think, was the most dragged out version of a male character we've seen.
Well, but also, again, in real life, that was the case, you know? So again, fair. I think if you pick a larger than life, like a Liberace, I mean, I'm not trying to pick all our queer icons, but really a inherently dragified person, and you do that, that's kind of the same as doing like a Paul Lynde as a larger than life person who just isn't as outlandishly dressed, I think. I don't know, but I understand your point. It is Drag Race. It is Snatch Game in the tradition of drag and having, like, you know, really out there portraits of different people. You do want that, but I give them a pass because if the performance sells it, you know, I'm there for it.
One more thing to mention about Snatch Game. This is the first season where there have been multiple characters that I am too old to know who they are at all.
This is your first time? Aww.
Like, there are people that I'm all not right, familiar everybody. With that have been on prior seasons, but, like, whoever, I'm forgetting her name, too, because she's not particularly memorable. The one that
all right,
should have
Jamie.
Been in the bottom and wasn't.
Aura Mayari?
Aura. Whoever that character was, I have never heard of this person.
Same.
Oh, yeah, Bretman Rock. Oh, right.
As somebody who grew up in that era of YouTube and is also slightly older than Sugar and Spice, actually a lot older, but
you're like 3 years older than that.
I'll just
calm
tell
down.
You, I know. literally, there was like, I sat there and I was like, wow, so that's your idea for him was you basically just said you looked like them and then rolled with it. You didn't actually do anything that they do, which is be insufferable, put makeup on their face and scream. But
and that's, I think, a problem that a lot of the queens are having is they're like, oh, I look like this person, or oh, I can make myself look like this person, and they're not embodying the character and utilizing that to the greatest effect. And then one last little special shout out. I know that we didn't see her a lot on there, but Jax is the Mona Lisa, just doing the little tongue thing at the beginning. I just thought that was adorable, and I loved it. House of Fashion. I like this episode because it actually reminded me of Canada season one, when they did this with the unconventional materials, the recycling houses, for those who have watched Canada. What did you all think of them doing these, turning home decor into haute couture based off of the three judges?
Meh.
Stood out that well,
it
huh?
It was okay.
I like the concept, and I will tell you this, the fact that Janelle Monáe was there is really, like, the biggest selling point of that episode for me.
Yeah, same.
They definitely utilized her well. Yeah. When we get to it, another guest, they absolutely did not. So, but yes, I was thrilled for you and Janelle.
Yes. Yeah, she definitely did get a lot of really poignant or correct and positive, like, usage as of her critiques on the episode. Old Friends Gold was episode 6 with doing some Golden Gal girl groups with
I don't know that the execution was good, but I do really enjoy the fact, because I don't think this is a new thing they've never done. Is that everyone's memory on this?
As far as what?
I think
the,
you're right.
The old,
as a competition or as a challenge. Like, I don't think
they did it as a runway. Season 10 did it as a runway because Monáe had the saggy titties and the IV pole.
But I mean, I think this is an evolution. I think leaning in on the Golden Girls, like a lot of our drag queen friends and people who we follow are doing, 1000%. I'm glad they did it. This was fresh. In execution, though, I mean, it was fine.
I'm still
mad that Sasha Colby did not win.
Agreed. The judging on that episode did not match up at all with what they showed us. Like, that was the one that Aura won, right?
Yes. Yeah, she came out of the bottom from the episode before. Sure. And then
the ones that were all doing backflips in the hip-hop group were all in the bottom. Like, that episode made no sense to me, judging-wise.
Yep.
No. But Sasha Colby in that, I could barely remember what she said, but I know that it was the perfect fit for the metal version of that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still mad that she did not cinch that win. Daytona win 2, we already kind of touched on. I don't think we need to dive into that.
Oh, anymore. One thing though about that, yes. That's the episode where Harvey Guillen as a guest or as a judge, and they didn't use him in Daytona Wins. Instead, they brought in Danny Trejo, which I love Danny, he's great. But like, come on. Also, the fact that I think he had one, maybe two lines at the I just refuse to believe that he wasn't a lot funnier on set, unless he was just starstruck. I was very disappointed by that.
Well, he is judged on Dragula a couple of times and also was a little understated, so they may not have had much to work with from him.
Hmm. Okay.
And then our middle of the season, episode 8, the Lollapalooza.
See, this is the one that I'm mad they didn't have a winner so that Sasha Colby could win.
Right? So much.
Can we,
the second place.
Can we also just talk about the abuse of Anitra?
Oh my God. How do you have her go up against Sasha Colby and then make her do it two more times?
She deserves a Silky Nutmeg Ganache Award for just that stamina. And just killing it.
I was like, slam your fucking, crotch on the ground one more time. And I swear to God, you are not just going to pop, you are going to bounce.
I am still mad that they did not pull a twist, because I think it would have made the fucking gays go crazy. Is if they had said Sasha, Shantae, you stay. And then saved Anitra as well. And not had that three-way lip sync. And not had that ridiculous, the person whose ball we pick will then save one of the other two queens. Like, for real, though? For real? Like, Anitra was used as, the person to just make these things happen that production was doing.
Yeah, this was the hand of production trying to make sure that their elimination order stayed what they wanted it to be. As hard as they could.
Because, Spice should have gone home in this episode, for sure. I will also give a shit ton of credit to Selena Estides. I laughed my ass off to her performance of It's All Coming Back to Me Now. Same. Fucking love that. It was so good. And the fact that Lux said she was a little lock-gagged... No, you did not. No, there was no competition.
Yeah, none. Let's all talk about how Lux should have been the one that was in that three-way lip sync.
Amen.
Oh my God, and then she won against Anitra and Jax in the second round? What? I still don't.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. And then final episode... that is aired as of this recording, 200th episode, The Crystal Ball. James, I know we're looking to wrap it up here shortly, but I know you have thoughts and opinions, and I'm going to try to have Zen come over me.
Are you ready for some Sasha Colby slander, everybody? I'm giving myself 1 minute. All right. First off, if you come out on the stage and your dress is literally just a fucking floor-length mermaid gown and you remove your midsection with a bandeau for your top, I am sorry, that is not a look, that is lazy. Second off, if your idea is coming out in high fashion when it's literally a chest of appliques that you did not make. You glued and or sewed them together and then taped two sticks to your arms and call it fashion. I do not care. I do not care if the person who hand sewed a spine and arms in one of the most well-cut dresses that has ever walked down that stage. I am sorry, Anitra was robbed.
Except for the fact that we saw that dress walk down the runway on Oramayari like three episodes prior to that.
Truth.
I don't care.
Also, I will say this. Yes, Anitra's third look, gorgeous. Gorgeous. But you talk about Sasha just gluing or sewing appliques together. Anitra didn't make those crystals herself. Like, she wasn't back there fashioning things herself. She was gluing that shit to the, or, you know, attaching it to the fabric as well. So, whatever. But her second look was the worst thing I saw on that stage the entire time. Her tappy titties? No, ma'am. I wasn't a fan of her first look either, but that was a neutral for me. But her second look was so not good. And that's why she was high safety.
So was Sasha Colby's first. So
there is no comparison of Sasha's first look to Anitra's second look at all. the lively debates about drag queens' bald looks.
I will agree with you, though. I probably wouldn't have given Sasha that win. Just because by no means should she not have been in the top, but I do agree that Anitra's last look, despite the fact that the idea was ripped off from one that she saw earlier in the season, was the best made garment of the ones that they made there.
But it's a three-score look. Like, it's a three-score night. You can't give somebody the win off of that look. I will give you that. Anitra's third look, best look of the night, for sure. But I don't think that look overcomes her second look. And her first look was mid. Like, it was,
I said what I said.
No, and that's what we love about this, is that you can have your opinion and we can still be friends. Because these are opinions.
And I'm also okay wrong with Sasha getting an unearned win there when she's been robbed of two other wins this season.
I mean, true. It was the revenge for the Oramayari robbery. The dress that was taken from Aura's look did not beat her on this one. I think overall, and I will say this. Seeing Magnus Hastings shoot that dress, her first look, the one that James absolutely hates, it looks stunning in the Magnus Hastings shots. It did not read the same way on the runway in the short time we saw it on TV. In photographs on social media was so much. I saw it and was like, okay, I understand why she won. Because the other, like all three looks together, I can definitely see it. But that
look on Sasha Colby, even on the runway, was the first time we've seen her come out this season and just look beautiful. Like, she looks stunning. Dress aside.
I mean, yes. That's why she's your favorite drag queen's favorite drag queen. The one and only Sasha Colby. I think for me... While the ball did feel a little, I wish it was longer. I do think that the editing wasn't so bad for this episode when it included a mini challenge and a performance by RuPaul and then three looks from these queens, these top nine queens. So overall, I think that the editing is getting a little better as we're getting ready to go back to 90-minute episodes. So last thing that we're going to do before we sign off from this episode is give our hot take for the top four. I don't remember what we said aside from Sasha Colby, the last time. So we'll have to go back and check against what we've said, but we'll do that at the end of the season once we've found out who the top four were, and we'll see how right we were preseason and midseason when we get to the end game. So, Brian, who are your top four for season 15?
I would do Sasha Colby, Lucy Laduca. I'm going to say Marsha and Anitra. I'm probably missing somebody. Oh, Mistress.
Well, I think top four.
No, I know. But I'm trying to debate. Do I sub out Mistress or somebody from Mistress? But given, unfortunately, the track record of Drag Race for plus size queens, I mean, I don't know. I think she probably can hang in there. So I'll sub out Marsha for Mistress. I don't think Marsha's going to make it to the top four. So, yeah, Sasha, Lucy, Anitra, and Mistress.
Solid top four. James, what about you?
I would say Sasha Colby, Anitra, Mistress, and I believe Marsha. And the reason I say that is because Marsha did surprise us all, okay? And if the anything that she is one of the most consistent people on that stage. Now, I think my hot take is they are not giving Sasha Colby the winning edit.
I don't think anybody's being given the winner that because, edit right now. But yeah, I'm sorry.
I'll just say this is that the people who are talking the most right now are not Sasha Colby. Like we do not see enough of her. And I think it's very weird considering how good she is.
Do they even have a winner? She has. Do they have a winner yet? I don't know that they have a winner.
No. But just like
in the production side of it, they are leaving their options open, but I totally take your point. They aren't giving her a lot of interview time and I don't know why that is, but yeah, that's interesting.
She's also a more soft-spoken queen.
I feel like getting a lot of talk ahead from her, though. She's just not getting the moments in those. I feel like she's getting we want people to like this queen enough to win, but not enough to want her back for All Stars.
See, that has been a consistent talking point for you.
I would say that I think that I believe the internet Reddit rumors, which is that Sasha Colby is not going to win. They're going to bring her back for another All Stars and she'll win that.
I mean,
because they Reddit can make more money off of her and her fans. So.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm just like,
Yeah, I think to Jamie's point, like I see where both of you are coming from. I feel like there isn't a full, like nobody's getting a winner's edit yet this season. And maybe that's because there are shorter episodes, so we don't have as much time to, and so many queens that we don't have time to really focus on one in particular.
At this point in the season, unless they are trying to change people's minds about somebody, they're not ever going to get a winner's edit yet.
Yeah.
Like Aquaria got the winner's edit this early on because they knew that they had to convince us that she was a winner based on those first few episodes.
I mean, true. Yeah. Jamie, who is your pick for top four?
Sasha Colby, Anitra, Lucy, and I'm going to say Lux because they seem to just be dragging her along this season.
Yeah, and I will echo Anitra and Sasha from you guys. I see Mistress going top four. She's done well. And I kind of want to see Lucy because they've kind of given her this delusional edit, but I feel like Lux will go to the top four over her. So that's where I think. One real quick last question. Do we think that Drag Race has gone too meta at this point where they're just using their own catchphrases? Is less pop culture being taken in and being utilized?
I think if you remove Laura London from this cast, no.
I think.
But I mean, the ball was all about their own show.
But they've done that before.
They that's my point. They have absolutely done this before, and I've been saying this for years, that that show has got to like go completely back to ground zero, because it's so incestuous. It's so meta. It's just it's there's moments where it works, and I'm all in. And then there's stuff where I'm like, no, you've jumped so many sharks at this point that you're only surviving by your fawnsiness of your cast. You know, I just, yeah, no.
If I have to hear Drag on a Dime one more time, I'm going to kill someone.
See, I love Drag on a Dime, though.
It's a good challenge.
I do, too. I do, too. Not when they've done it 9 times.
Fair.
True. Well, thank you, my counsel, yes, James.
Drag Race has become meta.
Yes, I think that in some cases I do like it. In some cases, I'm kind of, it's a little too much for me. But thank you, the Council of Jameses. It's been a lovely mid-season recap.
We are.
Thank you, dear listeners, for joining us. Make sure to check out our website, flameonshow.com, our Patreon, patreon.com/flameonshow. We'll be back in 2 more weeks. Brian, James, Jamie. Thank you. I'll give you a moment to say goodbye to the dear fans.
Bye, fans.
We are the Benny James of it.
Oh, love it. Never gets old.
I love it. Well, thank you all.
We're literally sitting here and the straight people can't understand what we're talking about.
Are there?
I'm not sure we always understood what we were talking about.
No. The joke is, no, use the voice.
Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you all so much. We'll see you next time. Bye, bitches.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Jessie, and this is my mum, Lenny.
Hi.
And we've got a podcast called Table Manners, which is currently being sponsored by Dyson and their hair care technology, available for gifting this Mother's Day. Dyson hair care technology is the perfect gift for this gifting season, whether it's for yourself or for your loved one, just like Lenny. And this Mother's Day, they have a gift edition supersonic hairdryer in the iron and fuchsia, and the dark nickel and fuchsia coral cordless hair straightener.
Dyson hair care has technology for all needs. The Dyson Airwrap, Multi-Styler, the Dyson Supersonic Hairdryer, and the Dyson Coral Cordless Straightener.
You can shop the full Dyson Hair Care range, including gift editions, direct from the people who made it at dyson.co.uk.